This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut lawmakers want to protect a USDA research center in the state from closing. Pennies are a step closer to being a thing of the past in New York. The unique way scientists are working to save elm trees. Plus, we have the latest from WSHU's Birdsong Break. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. U.S. Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro wants to protect a research facility in Connecticut from being closed. WSHU's Janice Roman reports it comes after the USDA announced it would consolidate facilities across the country.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture says it plans to close a U.S. Forest Service research center in Hampden, Connecticut. The lab studies and responds to emerging threats to tree life like spotted lanternflies, Asian longhorned beetles, and the spongy moth. DeLauro called for transparency and proposed an amendment to protect the facilities.
As a research and development priority, I am baffled by the USDA's attempt to close these facilities without an adequate explanation or a thoughtful plan for how to preserve the research conducted there.
The U.S. Forest Service says it plans to close 57 out of the 77 similar facilities across the nation. The work of the Connecticut facility could move to Warren, Pennsylvania. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Connecticut is expected to receive $27 million from the Environmental Protection Agency to reduce lead exposure in drinking water. The New England News Collaborative's Anya Pinello has more.
The money will be used to find and replace old lead pipes that bring drinking water into people's homes. The pipes are known as lead service lines, and Connecticut could have as many as 8,000 of them. That's according to the Connecticut Mirror, which gathered data from the Department of Public Health last year. Highly acidic water, or water without a lot of minerals, can cause lead pipes to corrode, leaching lead directly into the water. Lead can be harmful to adults and especially children, even at low levels. If you're unsure if you have a lead service line, you can contact your local water utility. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Anya Pinello.
Pennies are a step closer to being a thing of the past in New York. The New York Public News Network's John Campbell has more.
State lawmakers approved a bill to require businesses to round up or down to the nearest nickel. That's in response to the Treasury Department's decision to stop making pennies near the end of last year. The bill would only apply when customers pay cash, not with a credit card or a gift card or a check. It applies to the total after tax. Governor Hochul has until the end of the year to sign or veto the legislation. Her office says she'll review it. In Albany, I'm John Campbell for the New York Public News Network.
Coming up, a look at a unique effort in New England to bring back elm trees. Plus, we have the latest from Birdsong Break. Stay here. Homeowners near the Shinnecock Hills Golf Club are barred from renting out parking spaces during the U.S. Open later this month. Southampton town officials say charging for spaces on lawns and driveways would violate zoning laws. Code enforcement officers will be on the lookout during the tournament, which runs June 15th to the 21st. Hartford's public schools are facing a nearly $30 million deficit, according to a new analysis commissioned by the state. That goes well beyond the $22 million the district estimated itself. The analysis blames healthcare costs, payroll expenses, and $3 million in expected city funding that never showed up. A Suffolk County jury returned a guilty verdict on murder charges in a car accident case that left four dead last year. Stephen Schwally was allegedly drunk when he crashed into a nail salon in Deer Park at almost 80 miles an hour. His lawyer says he plans to appeal the verdict. The bridges over the Cape Cod Canal will soon be replaced and are looking for a new home. The Bourne and Sagamore bridges are being put up for adoption by their owners, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The New England News Collaborative's Dan Guzman has more.
A federal law from 1966 requires the Corps to look for any takers whenever it replaces transportation infrastructure.
There are people and entities who are very interested in things like this. They see them as historical pieces that they want to keep, or use parts from them to repurpose for whatever reason.
Army Corps Public Affairs Specialist Shandra Sterling says applicants can't just be anyone who thinks having a bridge is neat.
They'd have to prove that they do have the resources available to relocate the structures and maintain them, dispose of them properly, etc.
Applications will be accepted through June 26th. The old bridges won't be given away until the new ones are complete. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Dan Gus.
If you took a walk along the banks of a river in New England 100 years ago, you'd likely find yourself looking up at towering American elm trees. 50 years ago, a fungus wiped out most of those trees, but a few survived. Now, scientists want to use these survivor trees to bring American elms back. The New England News Collaborative's Abigail Giles reports.
Walking down the hill to the Nature Conservancy's preserve in Benson is like descending into a sea of American elm saplings.
We have these trees that are almost 10 years old, 5,200 trees here on site that have been babied and are absolutely beautiful now.
That's Forest Service scientist Lila Wilson. She knows these little trees well. Each one comes from a seed she harvested from a tree that she hand-pollinated using pollen collected in the lab.
They represent 53 large survivor elms from New England, so a lot of good genetic diversity here. And we're going to be infecting them with the Dutch elm disease fungus. So drilling a little hole into each tree and then injecting a solution that contains 100,000 spores of the fungus into each tree. I feel like we should warn them and apologize to them because we're torturing them, and it's not nice. I don't like that part.
Dutch elm disease started killing American elms in the 1930s. It's spread by beetles that feed on their twigs. From there, the fungus infiltrates the tree's vascular system, clogging up the xylem. These are the vessels that carry water up into the tree's leaves, like arteries. As the fungus spreads, the vessels cauterize, and the leaves, the canopy of the tree, die. It's a little like heart disease. But just like in humans, some trees appear to have more resilient vessels. They survive. And Lila is hopeful that some of these saplings will make it too.
How long will it take to sort of ascertain who is resistant and who's not? Yeah, so we'll be back in about 8 weeks to start raiding the canopies. That'll give us a pretty good idea.
All in all, it'll take about 2 years to see which trees make it. American elms are big, long-lived trees with roots that can survive being underwater for weeks at a time and slow down floodwaters. A 2022 University of Vermont study found that planting trees like elms in floodplains could save Vermont $1 billion over the next century and cut flooding damage by almost 20%. Gus Goodwin is a scientist from the Nature Conservancy who is caring for the elms in Benson. From the nursery, he points out an adult elm that was killed by Dutch elm disease on the border of the neighboring hayfield. The top of the tree is curled up and bare, like a witch's broom.
What do we lose when we lose a big, beautiful, mature tree? I think because it's such a beloved piece of our cultural history and planted throughout so many towns and so many of our civic spaces, there's that kind of like community loss too.
The Nature Conservancy is helping the Forest Service with the funding for this research. And if it's successful, Gus hopes it will create a seed stock that people can use to restore floodplain forests across New England. Just over the fence from the nursery, he points out a big, healthy American elm. This one could be hundreds of years old. Shaped like an overflowing vase, it towers over the saplings the scientists are inoculating with spores. And it's a sort of reminder of what used to be.
And then there's just something special about walking into a forest with big trees that's messy, that has all this kind of complexity and diversity, and you know, everywhere you look it's just a little different and interesting and exciting, and you can't get that without big trees.
Scientists hope they can bring a little of that carbon-rich mess back to New England's riverbanks. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Abigail Giles.
This is WSHU's Birdsong Break. This week's bird is the northern mockingbird. This year-round resident of our region is known for being, well, pretty chatty. They have a vocal repertoire of more than 200 sounds mimicking other birds, frogs, bugs, even car alarms. Take a breath, listen, and let nature remind you to slow down. This has been WSHU's Bird Song Break. Special thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Visit WSHU.org for more. There are moments in the day when you reach for something familiar. A trusted voice, a thoughtful story, music that helps the day feel a little more manageable. That's part of daily life on WSHU. News you trust, music you love. Listen on the radio, online, on our free app, and of course, right here on the After All Things podcast. Thanks for being with me today. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day and a wonderful weekend. I'll speak with you on Monday.